We come to the Gospel of John now in chapter 10, so if you would turn in the scriptures there to John chapter 10. And John chapter 10 will be reading verses 1 through 42 of God's Word. And so starting in verse 1, John chapter 10, these are God's words. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father.'" A division occurred again among the Jews because of these words. Many of them were saying, "He has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him?" Others were saying, "These are not the sayings of one demon possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he?" At that time, the feast of the dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me?" The Jews answered him, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God." Jesus answered them, "Has it not been written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God'? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me, but if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father." Therefore they were seeking again to seize him, and he eluded their grasp. And he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was first baptizing, and he was staying there. Many came to him and were saying, "While John performed no sign, yet everything John said about this man was true." Many believed in him there. And those are God's words. So through verse 18, Jesus relates to a large group of Jews, which is in the timing before the Feast of Dedication, which we find in verse 22. He relates the truth with who he is with the I am statements, a couple of them. First, that he is the door of the sheepfold to come on amongst the sheep. One has to go through Christ, and there's no other way. And further, that he is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, and pointing forward to his death on the cross, dying for all who believe in him. And again, in these, Christ saying, I am, is relating to them. It should be relating to them that he is Yahweh, claiming to be I am that I am, claiming to be the way of salvation. And he's also claiming the means of that salvation through his death. And the rest of the passage is then the reaction of the Jews to Christ's claims and the gospel. And there it says there was a division among them. And when the gospel is preached, beloved, as Jesus has preached it here, you must remember the gospel divides. Christ divides between those who are his people and not his people. And there is great enmity between the two. The Jews then bring a dispute to Christ. They want to know plainly, clearly, if he is the Christ or not. But he's already told them this. He's already shown them this. But they did not want to believe him. He is the Christ. His healing the blind man in the last chapter, which they remember here, is sufficient to show that he is the Christ, as it was prophesied in the Old Testament that the one who was the Christ would heal the blind. And this is the only one who's ever healed a blind man. And so he is the Christ, but they did not believe in him. And he said that they're showing themselves not to be his sheep, because the sheep listen to the word of the Lord and follow the good shepherd. Verse 28, Christ's sheep are given eternal life. They will not perish nor be taken away from him or the Father. Verse 30, Christ claiming he is the Christ, is saying that God the Father and Christ are one. Christ claiming his claiming to be God was enough for them. And so they thought, this is blasphemy and sufficient to put Christ to death by stoning. But again, we see not being his time. It's not time for the cross yet, not time for his crucifixion. He escaped their murderous intentions. Beloved, the evidence of Jesus as the Christ and God are all around us this evening. All of you who have believed are the evidence of that. And so come believing, turn to him from your sins and come to the great shepherd of the sheep who comforts your souls and gives us rest in him. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we're thankful for the great and good shepherd of the sheep that we read about in Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and here found again as Christ himself claiming to be him. And we're thankful that as he healed the blind man, which we believe he did, that you used that to solidify and prove that he was the Christ while he was on this earth. And many, though, did not believe. Father, we pray for the Jews today, that you would bring them in, and bring the remaining Jews in to fulfill your word, and to we know that for Christ to return again, all of them must come in, as well as all the Gentiles, all your elects must believe. And so, Father, we pray that that would happen soon, if that be your will. Father, we also claim that what you say in your word is true, that you are coming soon. Father, we don't know exactly when that will be, but we pray that you would give us patience as we wait, as we long for heaven, as we long to be with your Son and rest on his chest, being embraced by him, as we'll hear this evening. Father, we thank you for the love which you give us and show us in Christ that we heard this morning, that it is simply amazing and wonderful and beyond our comprehension that you would have sent your son because, and for him to die for us, all because you loved us, despite who we were at the time. Father, we do ask that you would be with those who may not be feeling well, or like Dina. We ask that you would help her and strengthen her body this evening, and that she would be able to worship with us again. We pray for the McQuashes and the Dangs, that you would bring them to worship again, that you would have them to attend upon your worship, and pray that all is well with them. I do ask for strength and body for Ron and Karen, and this summer as they prepare to move, and continue to pray for Phyllis, that you would give her great times with her mother and sister, that she would be a light in a dark place to them, and all of us, and all working in all of us, we pray that same thing, that you would make us to be a light in a dark place, which means that, as we'll hear this evening, that we would be the lily, or a lily among the thorns, Father. Father, help us as we continue in worship now, that your name would be praised and glorified, that you would encourage us and bless your people, convict us of our sin, that we would, by your Spirit, turn from that sin to you. And Father, we seek forgiveness, that you would forgive us of all our sins, that you would cause in us a true repentance of them, and that you would accept us in Christ alone, who continues to plead for us, that even we would be received. And so we pray that you would receive us because of the prayers of your Son. And in his name we pray. Amen.